taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And sometimes we just marvel at the timing and providence sometimes God has in store for us. For it seems that no sooner had I finished recording the episode on the CDC eviction moratorium fiasco than it continued. So I want to take some time today. I'm going to focus a fair amount of time today because the more we look into the not only the moratorium fiasco, but the way the different parties are dealing with it, the more and more I'm seeing a microcosm of the problems, not just in our government, but in the society that supports it and creates it. So for those of you who've not been following this, let me give you a brief recap. Back in March of 2020, Congress passed the CARES Act, and in that they included a 120-day moratorium on evictions from rental properties that participated in federal assistance programs. The idea being, you know, the old saying, the he who pays the piper calls a tune. If you take the federal bribe, the federal government wants to control what you do. So Congress said, listen, if you take our money, you can't evict anybody for 3 months or 4 months, whatever the number is. That moratorium expired, at which point the CDC issued a new order, what they called the Temporary Halt in Residential Evictions to Prevent the Further Spread of COVID-19. There's a mouthful. This order not only extended the time frame, but it extended the order. In other words, not only did you have to take federal funds or federal loan, if you rented property, you couldn't evict anyone. Now, there are lots of problems with this. Obviously, people went to court. There are two court cases I'm very familiar with. One is the Tiger Lily LLC, which went through the district and circuit courts. But probably the more better known is the Alabama Association of Realtors versus HUD, which made its way all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, here's the thing that we need to remember. First of all, no court has ever found the eviction moratorium unconstitutional. I have read as many opinions as I can find. Not one court said, by the way, it is a violation of the Fifth Amendment to deprive someone of control of their property, namely the landlord control of their own property, without due process of law. To deprive someone of the property they have in the rental contract without due process of law. Nobody talked about that. Nobody mentioned it. Not one court has mentioned this. Now, if you listen to the media and the pundits, you would have been believed that the Supreme Court ruled that the eviction moratorium is unconstitutional. It did no such thing. It's never declared it. It's never found it unconstitutional. First of all, the courts, the federal courts don't rule. They opine. They offer opinions. Now, the district court said, no, this is not authorized under the legislation that the CDC is using to say we have this authority. Therefore, we're going to vacate it. But they put a stay on that, waiting for other courts to opine. This went up to the circuit court. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court went so far as to say, well, the only justice, the Supreme Court said they thought it was exceeding the authority of the CDC, but that they would not vacate the stay because it was about to expire, which, surprise, surprise, once it expired, they just simply did it again. I mean, this is the foolishness of people we have in office, or in this case, in the office of justice, to think, okay, we've told you we don't like it. We told you that we find it wrong, but we're not going to drop the hammer on you because it's going to expire in a few days and we can all let this kind of quietly go away and everybody will be happy and nobody will get their wrist slaps. Well, like I said, 3 days after it expired, voila, Biden CDC extends the moratorium again. It immediately goes to court. And as I understand it from, I've done a relatively quick perusal of the Supreme Court opinion. We once again have the district court saying, no, this is not authorized by the legislation. And by the way, if you want more, I covered this all in the episode on the eviction, which I did just a couple days ago. So you can find that one. So this comes back to the court, and this time the Supreme Court, I think they kind of had enough. The Supreme Court, the original Supreme Court opinion wasn't signed. They didn't actually even issue an opinion. They just said, no, we're not going to vacate. We find it for the appellant, but we're not going to vacate the stay because it's about to expire. Now they come back to this nonsense. And in fact, by the way, Kavanaugh wrote a concurrence where he explained why, and I went through that, and that's just as stupid as pretty much everything else. So here we have an eviction moratorium, and it gets re-extended. It goes to district court. Again, the district court says, no, we find nowhere that the CDC has the authority to do this. It goes back to the Supreme Court. And this time, the Supreme Court said, if a federally imposed eviction moratorium is to continue, Congress must specifically authorize it. The application to vacate stay presented to the Chief Justice by him, referred to the court, is granted. In other words, they vacated the stay on the district court's opinion, their decision that the CDC eviction moratorium is illegal, not unconstitutional. It violates federal law. And that's it. How many of you have heard or seen reports about the court striking down Biden's eviction moratorium or finding the moratorium unconstitutional and all that stuff? That's not what happened. It isn't. Now, I want to back up and start looking at all the problems with this moratorium and with the way the people have handled this moratorium. So I want to take some time and do this so that you're better informed. Because if you're listening to the media, well, let's say if you're getting your information from the media about this, you're getting garbage. I mean, just plain garbage. Now, let's start with the fact that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is an unconstitutional federal agency. It's unconstitutional. It has no constitutional justice. It is illegal. I can find no language in the Constitution that authorizes the United States to deal with diseases, either their control or their prevention. The federal government is limited. We have a limited government. The 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to the United States by this Constitution, nor prohibited by to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, if a power is not specifically delegated to the United States, it does not have it. There has to be a positive affirmation of power to the United States for them to have it. Anything else is a usurpation of power. Now, whether you think the CDC is a good thing or not, the point is we the people never consented to the United States having this power. Therefore, it is unjust. In fact, it's interesting because going back to the most recent court slapdown of the eviction moratorium, I read this. It is indisputable that the public has a strong interest in combating the spread of the COVID-19 Delta variant. But our system does not permit agencies to act unlawfully, even in pursuit of desirable ends. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the ends do not justify the means. There is no legal authority for a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So there's strike one. Let's look at the next one. Since the United States is prohibited, since it is against the law, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, it is against the law to deprive someone of their property without due process of law, meaning a process designed to protect the rights of the individual, even if the CDC or another branch of the federal or another part of the executive branch wanted to issue an eviction moratorium, it cannot. It is illegal to deprive someone of property. But Paul, we're not depriving them of property. Yes, you are. So you understand when James Madison wrote his essay on property, he described property as anything you have exclusive control over. So yes, the landlords have a property in the land they own and rent out, but they also have a property in the contract, the lease, that sets the terms and conditions by which someone may live there and may remain living there. So when the federal government comes in and says, even though you have a contract that gives you the authority to remove a tenant that's not paying the rent, you're being deprived of the benefit of that contract. You're also being deprived of the control of property that you own. You're being told that you cannot remove someone who is illegally squatting on your own property. This is a blatant constitutional violation. And I do mean blatant. This is something that is everywhere, but it seems to be so rarely seen because our law schools and our media have trained us to think not in deprivation of property, but in takings, the takings clause of the Fifth Amendment. We focus on that and we ignore the due process clause of that very same Fifth Amendment, which prohibits anyone, including the federal government, from depriving you of your property without due process of law. So even if we take this away and say, well, maybe another branch does it, or as the court likes to say, if a federally imposed eviction moratorium is to continue, well, wait a second. Any federally imposed eviction moratorium is unconstitutional and therefore illegal. It's as plain as the ink on that parchment. You're depriving people of property without due process of law. You haven't shown that they've done anything wrong. You haven't shown that they're a danger to society. You haven't even shown that the people that may be evicted should be quarantined. You're just blanket saying you can't do that. That is illegal. But the court goes on and says, well, if a federally imposed eviction moratorium is to continue, Congress must specifically authorize it. Well, let's say Congress were to authorize it. Let's say they were to pass another version of the CARES Act. Because the CARES Act had the moratorium in it. There's just one problem. Any law repugnant to the Constitution is void. This is from both Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Papers number 78 and Chief Justice Marshall when he wrote the opinion in Marbury versus Madison, where he said, certainly all those who have framed written constitutions contemplate them as forming the fundamental and paramount law of the nation. And consequently, the theory of every such government must be that an act of the legislature repugnant to the Constitution is void. That means the CARES Act, where the eviction moratorium in the CARES Act is void. It always has been. That means even if the law that the CDC is using as justification to impose the eviction moratorium were authorized by Congress, it is void because it is repugnant to the Constitution. It violates one of our primary concepts of freedom and liberty, that of due process. You cannot be deprived of things without due process, a process that protects your individual rights. That's from the Free Legal Dictionary. So this whole fiasco, this ongoing dumpster fire of the moratorium, one of many, by the way, But the whole eviction fire dumpster eviction moratorium dumpster fire has been because we have piled unconstitutional act on top of unconstitutional act on top of unconstitutional act. And rather than dealing with the problem, we're sitting around waiting for courts to get their thumb out of their backside, in which case they find not that it violates the supreme law of the land, which it clearly does, and I've shown over and over again, but that Congress didn't authorize that. That Congress hasn't said, listen, when they went through and said you can do anything that makes sense, we gave you kind of parameters on that. That it had to deal with the interstate travel or transmission of a disease, which is really funny because nothing in the Constitution gives Congress the authority or even the United States the authority to regulate interstate disease transmission. It doesn't exist. So I not only blame both Trump and Biden's CDC for blatant violations of the Constitution, I blame the courts, the federal courts, from the district courts up through the Supreme Court, because they cannot see the forest for the trees. It was right there in front of their face in the Fifth Amendment that any eviction moratorium is void, empty, meaningless, worthless, useless garbage. But we've been so educated into imbecility that the supposedly brightest legal minds in the country can't read a simple sentence out of the Constitution. That the lawyers who keep bringing these, not one lawyer that I saw mention the fact this is a violation of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. Not one. We've educated our legal system into imbeciles, more interested in navel-gazing and the opinions of their peers than in the supreme law of the land. You know, I've told the story before. My wife used to work in a bank, and when she was trained to recognize counterfeit money, the one thing they never handed her was counterfeit money. They only handed her the real stuff, so that she was so familiar with it that even if she didn't know why, when she encountered a counterfeit bill, she knew something was wrong. Well, we've done the exact opposite to our legal system. They have been so ingrained and indoctrinated and flooded with counterfeit law, they don't even recognize the real stuff when it shows up anymore. They don't even take into consideration, hey, what does the Constitution actually say about this? And once again, we have the Supreme Court not saying that an eviction moratorium is unconstitutional, therefore illegal, therefore void, but simply saying Congress hasn't authorized it. Well, Congress isn't authorized to authorize it. In fact, the very idea of enforcing an eviction moratorium, a national eviction moratorium, is a federal crime. Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. It is a federal crime under color of any law, regulation, or edict to deprive someone of a right protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. That means every person who actually enforced the eviction moratorium should be subject to a fine and up to a year in jail. We don't talk about that, do we? We don't think about that. So once again, where are we left? We are left with a bunch of high priests in black robes deigning to say, listen, if you want an eviction moratorium, Congress must pass it in direct violation of their oath of office. And some of those bad behavior I've seen in quite a while. And the American people are hooting and cheering, going, yay! Because you listen to the idiots and buffoons in the media who are lying to you. All that has happened at the court today, or when, you know, a few days ago when this actually happened, was the court vacated the stay of a district court opinion that started months ago, with the previous moratorium. And the only reason now, some weeks later, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, the only reason now they're actually doing something about it is because the Biden administration probably pissed them off when they ignored their previous opinion. They said, listen, it's not authorized, it's not legal, but we'll be nice. We'll give you a chance to be good boys and girls. We'll give you the chance to not slap you on the wrist. So now what they've done, they've slapped them on the wrist. They said, here, nope, that stay is now vacated. The district court's opinion is quote unquote in force. It's not law, right? It never went through the legislative process. It's just the opinion of a court. But here's a dirty little secret. The court has no power. The court has no mechanism to enforce this. The court is dependent on the very same executive branch that has ignored them already to enforce the opinion whose stay was just vacated. Now let that sink in for just a minute. How many really think, or let me put it this way, how many would be surprised if the CDC said, yeah, okay, but we don't agree, so we're leaving the moratorium in place? Then what's the court supposed to do? I'm serious. Then what is this court supposed to do? The court can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. The court doesn't have any law enforcement. The U.S. Marshals that enforce any of these orders work for the President of the United States. The court has no way of enforcing its opinion, and for very good reason, by the way. So what are the American people to do? What are we to do as we begin to understand just what a dumpster fire this whole moratorium is? Well, I've got some ideas, and they're not new ideas. They're ideas I've talked about before. They're ideas others have talked about before. But I think it's time we sit down and seriously consider the consequences of allowing a government of the United States to run so out of control, to run amok to the point where they just ignore the Constitution because it's inconvenient, or they just don't care. They ignore the consent of the governed. What are the American people to do? Well, I want to take some time and do that. So I'll do that after the break. But before the break, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to head over to constitutionscholars.com and sign up for a free account. Now, this is where students of the Constitution, that's what a scholar is a student. This is where students of the Constitution can gather. We can read and study and learn from each other, share what information we've gathered so that we can all become better students of the Constitution. Now, when you sign up for your free account, you'll get access to a library of resources. I've got some of my books are up there. I have my reference library that I'm still building out. So when I'm linking you to resources I use when I study. So if you want to see the resources I use when I'm studying topics, you can find it in the resource library. There's some classes up there. I've thrown up some videos and other things. I'm looking to do more, but that's kind of phase one. There's also community groups, and these are designed around both the Constitution of the United States and of the 50 states. So you can find others in your state that are interested. And I'll consider setting up more as people show more and more interest. But this is a place where you can go. Yes, you can shop for my books. Yes, you can check the library. You can get together, but it's designed so that we can become better students together. And part of that, I've added a feature that I'm calling my mentor programs. There's three levels: apprentice, journeyman, and master. And the idea of an apprentice is you're a student of being a student. You become a student of constitutional study. You learn not only how to study, how I study, but how you can best study. I'm looking to set up mentorships where you'd have an individual mentor that will work with you and help you move forward and expand your studies. And I'm putting together online get-togethers and other events where we can work together and all become better students. All of that is available The apprentice scholar is $5 a month. You get the first month free, or you can spend $50 a year and get 2 months free. And it's available on constitutionscholars.com. So if you would please check that out. If you join up for the free account and find others that are interested in the Constitution, and let's help read and study and teach each other and the rising generation to be free. Now, before I head off to the break, I want to remind you to check out healthycell.com/outloud. Get 20% off your first order. Check out the Immune Super Boost. Keep your body healthy. Help your body. Healthy Cells designed vitamins that really work at the cellular level to boost your immune system, to help keep you healthy, keep you strong, regardless of what variant of COVID is floating around. So again, check out healthycell.com/outloud. You get 20% off your first order just for being an America Out Loud listener.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today we're talking about the eviction moratorium. And I wonder if this foolish thing is ever going to end. And my guess is not for a while, simply because it seems that most of the people that are dealing with it are complete idiots when it comes to the Constitution. You know, it's the level of ignorance in dealing with this is at sometimes astonishing, till I realize the vast majority of Americans, including the vast majority of lawyers and judges, have never actually studied the Constitution itself. They study, quote-unquote, constitutional law, the opinions of judges, the navel-gazing of worrying more about the opinion of your peers than the actual document you swore or affirmed in your oath of office that you would support. So what are the American people to do? And this begins to a very important point. So we've already determined that any national, federal eviction moratorium is illegal and void because it violates the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. Quite simply, it deprives you of not only the property you have in the land you're renting or the property you're renting, but the property you have in the lease, the contract between the landlord and the tenant, to deprive them of that without due process of law, because no one has gone through and said and proven, given even any basis of probable cause to say that. You know, the CDC says we can't let people be evicted because they might be a danger. They might go to, well, guess what? There's a fundamental flaw in that thinking. You see, it's not simply good enough for the government to say, well, we won't let it happen because something bad might happen. That's not the American system of justice. The American system of justice says there are laws. Those laws matter. You're not allowed to violate those laws, period. But even if you want to infringe on someone's rights, you have to go through due process, which means you have to show it is upon the government has the burden of proof of showing that that individual eviction would be a danger to society. That means they have to prove that the person being evicted is actually contagious with COVID-19. That they have no other means or method of supporting themselves, that they have not voluntarily decided not to pay their rent thinking they'd get away with it, that they would have to go to a homeless shelter, or about the only place you could find any place for a federal intervention would be an interstate transfer, so they'd have to go across state to a homeless shelter. The federal government has to prove these in court before any such moratorium, any such holding up of an eviction would be allowed. That is the process. That is due process. And that is what's being ignored. So if Congress were to come up with a law that says, listen, we are concerned about the interstate effect of evictions, therefore, if someone comes up with a probable cause that someone is a danger, and we have these standards for coming up with that, well, it still wouldn't be constitutional because that's not a federal function. See, we keep falling into how do we make this work? And I'm like, well, okay, let's say that Congress did pass a law and they said, no, we are issuing a national eviction moratorium. Well, guess what? That's unconstitutional. Therefore, it's illegal and void. Well, okay, we're going to require due process. That means before an eviction can be suspended, you must have probable cause supported by oath or affirmation that the individuals being evicted would be a direct danger to society. Not that they might, that they are. Maybe they're contagious. Maybe they have COVID-19. maybe they're in a contagious phase of COVID-19. That they are truly destitute. They have no other options. They would end up in a homeless shelter where they would get spread. Then possibly you can put an individual hold on an individual eviction. But you see, I doubt Congress would do that. Why? They didn't do it with the CARES Act. And let's face it, who's going to hold them accountable for breaking the law yet again? This started during the Trump administration. That's why everyone who's out there who's like, yay, Trump, we get Trump back, life is, that's a fool's errand. Sure, there are things that Trump did that I thought were better than many of his recent predecessors. But as soon as we put our faith in a person, we are doomed. So if Congress is not going to do it under either Trump or Biden, if the CDC is not going to follow the laws either under Trump or Biden, if Congress is going to write illegal laws, what are we the American people to do? Well, there are several things that we should do, but it's going to take time. It's going to take time because for these to make sense, we have to educate the American people. Because what I propose sounds ludicrous. It sounds scary. It sounds dangerous. Especially to people who've been educated in our public school system about how the government works rather than what the Constitution actually says. So we have to understand, first of all, that according to the Declaration, the only just powers that government has come from our consent. We consent when we created a constitution and we set certain powers. We consented when we've amended that constitution to grant additional powers, although in one situation we did take away some power. We establish the boundaries of government. They don't establish their own boundaries. The very idea that government can establish their own boundaries is tyranny, not liberty. So what's the first thing we can do? The first thing we need to do is we need to educate our sheriffs that these eviction moratoria are void. Now, I've got some tools that can help. You go to constitutionstudy.com, search for Knowing Your Rights placard. That's the placard I've been using for my Knowing Your Rights tour. And it describes, among other things, it's got the 5th and 14th Amendments in there with their due process clauses. It shows that anybody that, it shows Title 18 United States Code Section 242, so that you can show them that these laws, these rules, these regulations that deprive you of a right protected by the Constitution are a violation of federal law. It can show you that both Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison, that these actions are void. Any legislation would be void because it's not pursuant to the Constitution. All of that's there. So we need to educate our sheriffs. Why? Because then we can ignore these illegal void mandates, these moratoria, and simply live our lives with the freedom and liberty we have as naturally as United States citizens. See, if you own land, if you are a landlord, and your sheriff recognizes that these eviction moratoria are void, well, then hopefully he'll help you evict a tenant that won't pay. Now, I'm sure some of them are going to go to the federal government and whine and cry and complain, we got kicked out when you had a moratorium. So you're going to need someone that's going to help, that's going to have your back. That when, the FBI or who knows, a CDC secret police, for all I know, decide to show up and arrest you or maybe just sue you for doing this. Because there actually are fines and penalties. You need a sheriff that will back you up and say, I'm sorry, those are a violation of the Constitution. If you're not allowed to enforce them in my county, and if you attempt to, we will arrest you for violating the rights of our citizens, and we'll contact the USDA, the U.S. attorney, for charges, for federal charges, of violation of 18 U.S.C. 242. See, if you do it alone, you're a sitting duck. But if you get your sheriff and your neighbors to recognize that these are void, that the Constitution is your legal authority to look the government in the eye and say, no, we did not authorize this, you are not allowed, and we've hired a sheriff that will have our back. That's step one. It's a scary step. I completely understand that. And I'm sure the vast majority of the American people are not prepared to take a step like that. I understand. I know there's a cost to that. But here's the question. Will you support the people who will? If someone stands up and says, if a sheriff stands up and evict somebody in contradiction to an illegal federal mandate, it's not a law. Even the fines and punishment are questionable because, again, the CDC doesn't legally exist. It is an illegal agency exercising illegal powers. And since this was not a law passed, where do they get the authority to fine someone for it? Much less put them in jail. But if somebody does stand up, what will you do? Will you come to their aid? Will you support any sheriff that evicts someone in violation of this illegal moratorium? Will you be there when the feds show up? Will you be there when they're vilified in the media? Will you be there when they're lied and called names and actually explain the legal justification for ignoring a void order? A void regulation. Will you be there to point, to help them, to support them as they go to the U.S. attorney to try and get these people charged with crimes? Because the U.S. attorney is not interested in this. This is nothing to them. and it will be until we the people make it important to them. Will you stand with your neighbor? Will you support those who are standing for your rights? That's the first thing we need to be willing to do. We need to either be willing to stand or to stand with those who stand to protect their rights. Because if government can say you can't evict someone because we don't think it's a good idea, damn the Constitution, we're going to say you can't do it anyway. What's next? What are they going to tell you to do next? Are they going to tell you as an employer that you must pay your employees even if they don't work because we don't want to let them out because we're afraid of the Delta variant? Or the Epsilon variant or the Gamma variant or whatever comes next? What happens when they say that, you can't go to the store, so stores are going to have to give you free delivery of food because, well, you need to have it, and we've shut everything down. See, you have to understand, the eviction moratorium exists in support of the illegal actions of mostly state and local governments to destroy their own economy by locking down and shutting down and preventing people from working. They expose some of them to eviction. So in support of one illegal act, they're taking another illegal act. What are you going to do about it? We need to stop sitting back and waiting and hoping that somehow someone in Washington will save us. Washington, D.C. will not save us. Our state houses will not save us. The Constitution didn't create the federal government to save us. It created the federal government to protect our rights. And as the Declaration of Independence says, when a government becomes destructive of those rights, it is the right and the duty of the people to alter or abolish it. Which means the very next thing we have to do is we have to find each and every member of Congress and the Senate who supported the CARES Act, who supported the eviction moratorium, that included the eviction moratorium, they need to be fired. They have shown themselves willing to trash your rights because their buddies in government trashed your rights and made a mess of things. That's what the whole CARES Act is. The CARES Act was legislation to bribe you from being pissed off at your state and local governments for destroying your rights. And many millions and millions of Americans accepted the bribe. It's time to say no more. We will not be bribed for our rights. We will exercise our rights freely. We don't need government's permission to exercise our right. Government needs our permission to exist. So each and every member of Congress, and this, both the House and the Senate, who supported the CARES Act, must be fired. Anything else in what? You're just complicit with bribery. You're saying, okay, we won't punish you for those bad actions because you gave us money. By the way, that means every member of your state legislature who voted to shut down your economies, that said, we are going to shut down or lock down you because not because we have gone through due process and we have just because we're afraid you might be in danger. Every governor, every county mayor, every county board that locked down, shut down, or dared to determine that certain businesses were not essential must be fired. That's consent of the governed. If you're going to break the law, we are going to punish you. That's our job. That's our responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. So that is what we must do. First, we must stand up and say, no, we will no longer allow you to infringe on our rights. You've gone too far. You've wakened the dragon. You've kicked the tiger in the tail one too many times. It's time to deal with the teeth. And the teeth are, you lose your job. If you're going to break the law, you lose your job, period, end of story. I don't care what bribes you offer me. We stand up for our rights, we stand up for our neighbors, and we fire these idiots who are breaking the law, who are violating their oath of office. We also demand that our representatives start impeaching these buffoons who cannot read the Constitution of the United States. Now, in most of these cases, the case that was brought to the judge was not a constitutional case, but a legal case, a statutory case. This is not the case for which I believe these idiots should be fired. I believe there's plenty of evidence of the stupidity of justices at the federal court level to start looking at impeaching some of them. Well, for example, Justice Breyer wrote a dissent to the vacate of stay order, in which he wrote, "The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued an order that, in light of the rise of the COVID-19 Delta variant, temporarily prohibits certain evictions in high transmission counties through October 3rd. Okay, my first question is, so the laws stopped mattering, Mr. Breyer, and again, Justices Sotomayor and Kagan joined, laws stop mattering when there's a disease out there? That's basically what they're saying is, we don't care about the laws because there's a disease out there and we need to be terrified of that, even though it's shown to be even less deadly than the one that didn't kill us last time. Breyer goes on to say, today this court, as an emergency matter, without full briefing or argument, blocks that order by vacating a lower court stay. No, Mr. Breyer, today this court reinforced a previous opinion that the eviction moratorium was not legally authorized. And when the executive branch ignored that, this court simply came back and said it again. The only difference between this time and last time is last time the court said, listen, it's going to expire. We won't slap you if you just let it expire. The court, the CDC refused to, so the court said, fine, we vacate the stay. And our order stands, or the district court order stands. Now, these justices think the court was wrong to do so. And I've gone through some of their basis for that. By the way, nowhere do they turn around and say, by the way, the Constitution authorizes anything like this. Nowhere. Forget it, doesn't exist. But in effect, they're saying, well, because it's so important, we must let them do this. The ends justify the means. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where ends justify the means gets us. Lawlessness. This is one in a long series of opinions where the many justices of the court, including such stalwarts as Thomas and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, well, Gorsuch hasn't been too bad, have violated their oaths of office, have behaved badly, which, according to Article 3, is a standard for which the term of a justice, federal judge exists during their good behavior. If they're going to behave badly, it's time for them to be removed. I'm not worried about the politics of who's going to support next. No. If they behave badly, they need to be removed, or at least impeached, at least warned. See, even if they were impeached but they weren't convicted, it certainly would get their attention. It is the responsibility of the representatives to do the right thing, not to guarantee the right outcome. But Paul, we're going to spend time in it. I don't care. If you'll only do the right thing when it's easy, then you're a coward and you're weak. And we need people of character in these positions today. So no. I'm not willing to say we disagree. I'm looking at your fidelity to your oath of office. Now, again, I don't think one opinion is a reason to impeach a justice or a judge. But we need to start impeaching these people who blatantly violate their oath of office to get an end. Now, I have other articles I'll be talking about hopefully in the next couple of days. So that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to stand locally to make sure we have a sheriff that has our back, to make sure they understand that they are not bound to follow void laws. They're not. Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution says, "This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof." In other words, only laws made that follow the Constitution. "And all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States," which comes from the Constitution, "shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding." That's right, Mr. or Mrs. Sheriff. You took an oath to the Constitution. Not to the Supreme Court, not to the federal court, not to state court, to the Constitution of your state and of the United States. And when the Constitution says that those laws are void, it is not only your authority to ignore them, it's your duty to ignore them, to protect the rights of the citizen of your county. And it's the responsibility of the citizens of your county to stand with you when you do that and to oppose you when you don't. So we must learn to stand on our own two feet, to protect our own rights rather than be enslaved to others to protect them for us. We must do this. We must protect our own rights. Second, we must look at those we hire to exercise our authority at the state and federal and county level, for that matter, as our employees. They work for us, not the other way around. We tell them what they can do, not the other way around. We set the limits, not them. It's about time those in government be more afraid of the American people than the people are afraid of the American governments. As the supreme law of the land, the Constitution gives us the legal authority to say, no, you cannot, you shall not. If you attempt to deprive us of our property without due process, not only will we oppose you, we will fight against you, if necessary, with arms. I don't want to get there. But we've become so universally ignorant that I don't know if there's another way at this point. Third, we must demand those who work for us do their job, not because it's easy, not because it'll come to the outcome we want, simply because it's the right thing to do. Stop signing on, stop voting for legislation because it's mostly good, but it contains language that destroys the rights of the American people. That includes the NDAA and other so-called must-pass legislation. The answer should be no until you can prove to me that it's a constitution, that the entire bill is constitutionally authorized legislation. Now, this is not going to happen until the American people are educated and we educate our employees in government. Now, there's several ways you can do that. Sure, you can head to archives.gov, read and study the Constitution. You can join the Constitution Scholars. You can sign up at the Constitution Study. You can buy my book. You can get engaged in classes. But whatever you do, make sure you're studying the original document. Any class, any book, any attempt to read and study that doesn't work off the original document is going to be flawed. We want to go back to the original documents. We want to read them. We want to study them. Hey, if you buy my book, I'm happy, but that's not what this is about. I would much rather you study the document using some of the free resources if that is what is best for you. My book is meant to be a tool. Now, the people who have read it have come back to me and said they think it's a good tool. They think it's a useful tool. If you want to read more about it, again, go to constitutionstudy.com or constitutionscholars.com. Go to the store and look at the reviews of the book. Find it on Amazon. But we need to educate ourselves because government will not. Government has no vested interest in teaching us that we rule over it, so they don't. But it's not that hard to do. In fact, I want to start with a John Jay challenge. I've issued this before. I'm going to issue it again. Here's the challenge. In the next 7 days, I want you to read the Constitution of the United States with a caveat. Now, if you need a copy and you can't find a free copy somewhere, go to archives.gov. You'll find the copy absolutely free. But when you read it, I want you to have a pad and pencil with you. And I want you to create two lists. The first list is every time you find something you didn't realize before, I want you to write it down in that first list. And then every time you come up with a question, I want you to write that down in the second list. Now, it should only take you about 34. If you're taking notes and lists, it might take you a little longer, but it should only take you about 30 minutes to read through the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. A little bit more if you have lots of questions or whatnot to write them down. But can you do that in the next 7 days? And then here's what I want you to do. Go to constitutionstudy.com. On the right-hand side of the calendar, you'll see the live Q&A. Join one of the live Q&As. You can register and join the Zoom room, or you can find me either on the website or on YouTube as a live stream or on Periscope. Ask your questions, and we'll get them answered, and we'll help you become a better student of the Constitution. You can find out more about my show, get all the latest podcasts, if you go to the menu under AmericaOutloud.com. Just look for our shows or schedule, and then you can be in the know.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.